I am joined by Kenneth Matamola, the CEO of Namfisa. So everyone knows you as the regulator, but no one knows who you really are. What you do in your spare time. Do you like fishing? Do you like going to the farm? So, Mr. Matamola, where were you born and raised?
I was born in the Zambezi region, formerly known as the Caprivi at that time. And I was born in a little village called Malindi.
And tell us about your siblings growing up.
Yeah, no, from my mom's side, we were six of us.
Yeah.
Two girls and four boys. Unfortunately, the girl and the boy have departed. They are no longer with us, which is my elder sister. So I'm a second born out of the six from my mom's side. But before then, my dad had he was in a marriage before got into my mom. So he had another two siblings from there. After my mom, my dad got married again and he got another two children. So I got another two siblings, and I have another sibling which was born out of wedlock. So, yeah, that's us.
Big family.
Yeah, it's quite a big family. Yeah.
Big family. What was your childhood like, and how did it shape your perspective on leadership?
Now, my childhood, I've been observing how my dad was doing things. And was somebody who was very practical, somebody who was solution-orientated. And he loved to interact with people to understand what their issues are. So every time he used to take me along, and the reason was very simple, because at school I used to perform well, and he was very proud of me, so he would show around his friends and say, "That's my son."
So you made him very proud.
Yeah.
Were there any early influences, family mentors, or experiences that guided you towards business and leadership?
Yeah, definitely, because, you know, some of us who went to school before independence, there were little or no guidance as much at that time. But there was one gentleman, who's my cousin, who happened to come to the academy at that time. And that cousin was close to my dad. So he influenced me to say, "Look, you're a brilliant guy. Please come and join me at the academy by then." Now then the University of Namibia. So this guy influenced me so much. And so when I got to the academy, one thing that came to my mind was, look, I want to, before I depart from this earth, maybe at some point I must be a leader of an organization. So every time I was aspiring for that, what was in my mind, what was fascinating me is, how can I be an executive for a banking institution? So that was my strive, that one day I should be an MD or the CEO of a commercial bank.
What were your career aspirations when you were younger?
You know, when I was younger, given that I had some much interest in mathematics, and I thought, "Oh man, maybe I must become a mechanical engineer." And unfortunately, you can understand at that time, when I finished my standard 7, moving to standard 8 at that time, I couldn't find a mathematics teacher. So that changed my trajectory, so which means I stopped with mathematics at standard 7, and therefore I started doing something else. Then I got interested in economics and business economics and so forth, and that's the field that I have followed since then.
My next question also goes with that one. What did you exactly study?
Yeah, no, I firstly studied Bachelor of Commerce, and what influenced me to take Bachelor of Commerce, because at that time, people were scared of taking accounting. And I was even, when I got to the academy, I was told, "My goodness, what are you trying to do? Don't you want to complete your degree?" I said, "Why are you saying so?" He said, "No, no, no, many people dropped out of a Bachelor of Commerce. And I said, but were there anybody that passed it? And they said, no, there are some, very little, there are very few. I said, okay, I must be part of the few. So that's what influenced me in terms of what to study. So I studied Bachelor of Commerce. When I was done with that, then I did my master's in financial economics. I did my diploma in banking. And at some point, I thought I was getting bored to where I was being employed at that time. I said, well, I needed to do something.
Change, a new challenge.
Then I registered to do my PhD. And as I was doing my PhD, things changed. And I got employed by NAMFISA, and things moved very quickly. And later on, I found myself in that big position. I couldn't continue with my studies because there were so many. Because the way I even got to that level, my boss at that time passed on in a car accident, and I was put to take care of the organization. So for me, it was throwing me in the deep end. And it became very challenging. And I remember making a joke with my wife and said, look, if you want me to finish my PhD, months you stay without a husband.
Yeah.
And they say, so we need to make a better choice here.
Yeah.
Where do you need, should I finish or should I become a husband? Because there's so many things that I do. That's where I stopped doing, only continues doing, dealing with leadership development programs. I was at the business school of Harvard, where I did the executive program. I also did an executive program with the University of Cape Town. So that's what shaped my leadership. And also what shaped my leadership is I'm grateful about the institution that employed, where they took me through a program whereby they hired a coach for me in the leadership. So that really helped a lot to be who I am today.
Mr. Matamola, maybe you could tell us what you do in your spare time.
I really have spare time. And those years when I used to have much more time on my hands, I used to play volleyball, play soccer.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to watch sport. But I like reading. Okay. That's one of the issues that I do. But what keeps me busy from NAMFISA, or keep me, I always tell people, makes me sane, is that I love church. So I'm a lay preacher in the New Apostolic Church. So that's where most of my time, if I'm not doing NAMFISA work, I'm doing church work on a voluntary basis. So I'm not paid for that. So I do it on a voluntary basis.
Tell us about your wife, your children.
I have a beautiful wife, Julia. Although she doesn't like that name of Julia, she preferred the name that she was given by her parents, Sodwin, because when she went to Catholic school, when she got baptized in Catholic, they gave her the name Julia. So that is on her, also on her certificate or whatever. And I have two children with her. But before then, I had other three children before that. So I have five kids. So I took seriously what our late president, founding president, says, please, men, get out of the bar and make children. So I made five.
Yes. So what motivates you to keep going?
You know, what motivates me is that in every challenging situation, there's something that you'll need to learn. And therefore, I look at the positive side of every challenging situation. And I believe that any challenging situation is an opportunity for me to learn new things. So that's what motivates me. So whenever I'm faced with difficulties, I would like to look at what is the positive out of the situation. So that motivates me.
What legacy do you hope to leave behind?
You know, the legacy that I want to leave behind is that I am a unique person. There will be nobody be Kenneth Matamola in any event who has all the attributes and the qualities like me. It's just to make sure that I fulfill my purpose while I'm still here on earth. So that's the legacy that I want to leave, that when people might know that there was somebody whose name was called Kenneth, and he worked for this institution and he delivered to his best of his ability. He was involved with this or the other, he did that to the best of his ability. And this could be seen in wherever I worked. Even now, at the regulator, I happen to chair the regulators for SADC. And my term was supposed to end now. In October, at the last meeting, they said, no, you can't end now. We want you to continue for another year because you are doing such a great job. And that's what keeps me going, to leave a positive impact to whosoever comes in contact with me.
Thank you so much.
You're most welcome.